What I came up with this morning for our little discussion is going to be centered around our commitment. And I could say our commitment. I thought about, within the last month, many of us have considered and made a firm decision to be continuously and mentally stimulated and feeling wholeheartedly dedicated as a courageous Christian. Man, all those words sound like big words. They're kind of big words to me. It's a nice way of putting it. Basically, what I'm trying to say is we made a firm commitment, a firm decision, which is nothing more than a resolution, to be continuously and mentally stimulated is nothing more than inspiration. And to feel wholeheartedly dedicated is commitment. So we have made a resolution to stimulate ourselves and to be stimulated by stimulating each other to be committed to being a courageous Christian, as opposed to, or as in relation to the resolution that we signed. Or, like I said, if you didn't sign it, at least you considered it. And it's nothing more than what we've already done when we made the decision to become a Christian. Amen. But sometimes we need encouragement, we need a little push, we need a little something to keep us going. Because if not, the same things you do every day, you do it, but it doesn't have the same value, or it doesn't have the same oomph that it had when you first started doing it. Man, everybody like me, well, no, you're not like me, because I'm a little punchy, but everybody's got a favorite dish that they like. It's your favorite. I dare say you probably could eat it every day. But as much as you love it, and you start eating it every day, after a period of time, and I can't tell you how long it would take, it will still be your favorite dish. But it won't taste quite as good as it was when you decided to make it your favorite dish. You know? So, what I'm getting at is, we needed to have something to stimulate, motivate, to help us remember for what purpose we made that decision. And by looking at this resolution, that was a good motivator, a good stimulator to say, yeah, I need to tighten up, because some of us realize, like myself, yeah, I need to try a little harder. Because not, you may end up being like I could have been this morning. I had every intention of being up, ready, full of fire, and ready to go. I woke up 7:45. I could have said, oh, Lord, I'm late. And the devil would have said, yep, you late, you overslept, you might as well forget about it today, you're just going late, they'll take care of the church and go on, you know, they may miss you, but hey, you just apologize when you see them. That wears down on your motivation and your inspiration. But you got to push yourself to say, I know I feel committed, I know my obligation, or it's always, we try to have somebody else to be standing in the wings if someone doesn't show up. That's why the brothers meet back in the morning, because we never know who's going to be here. But this is what you try to do. You try to have a second plan, a backup plan, so that we keep things going. All the time, that doesn't work either. But anyway, my in putting this lesson together, I came up with the Apostle Paul as an example. He gives us a good example and one of the best people, because we all are pretty much familiar with his story. He was definitely going in one direction and made a 180 to go in the other direction to follow Christ, which, like all of us, that's what we did in our lifetime. We wasn't on a direct path to following Christ. We might have been going zigzagging. We might have been going this way and then going over that way and then coming back. Whatever way you were going, you wasn't going full steam ahead following Christ. But we can use him as an example because of the things that he did and the work that he's done. And it gives us a good example of motivation to help us stay motivated as to what we need to do to keep on following Christ and carrying on his work. Now, if we look in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11 and 12, the reason Paul felt like he was an apostle, verse 11 and 12 in Galatians chapter 1, Paul tells of why he was so fired up, because of his conversion. And because he felt like, which he did, came face to face with Christ. I think if the Lord had spoke directly to me that way, I would have been all fired up too and had plenty of motivation for the rest of my life. Christ told him exactly what he wanted him to do and told him that you were wrong in the way in which you were going, in the way in which you were living. That's what he told him. And he tells us, Paul does, in Galatians, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. He clearly states that he did not get this being taught by a man. As some people in that day, they couldn't distinguish between following John or following someone else. Because of the fact John was the person that came to them and sort of, is my way of saying, put them on the right track. By John preaching to them and telling them what they should do and how they should change their life, they believed him, and they started following. Their faith basically was in John, not Jesus Christ. Even though John was telling them there was somebody coming after him that was more powerful than him, and that's who they should put their faith in. But they saw John, and they focused on him, and they believed on him. Sad to say that some people today, like Thomas, we don't believe unless we see. You know, as long as I see you, I can hear you, I can touch you, feel you, then I know this is real. Put all my faith in you, which is a big mistake, because you do that, you're still putting your faith in man. You got to put your faith in Jesus Christ. But Paul clearly states here that what he got and his faith is based on what he received from Jesus Christ. And that's what he's telling us. That's what we need to do. Now, even though he saw Jesus, if it wasn't but for a glimpse, he saw him because he was blinded. He heard him. The Bible doesn't tell us that he touched him, but he knows he was there. And he experienced, he went through a great experience of being blind, and to this, to make him to make him convert, to make him change his mind, to make him realize this wasn't something that just happened. I just didn't walk along and trip, or I didn't step in something and this would happen to me. This was something I can't explain. It happened to me, and it's so powerful, I can't ignore it. And I got to go with what I was taught. Sorry, you were saying, go ahead.
I was just going to say, the thing about Paul was that he had a heart that wanted to serve God,
mm-hmm.
even when he was doing it the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
And he was open to receive Christ. He was ready for that. And I think Christ picked the right opportunity and right moment to reveal himself to Paul. And Paul had a chance to do some self-reflecting on what he was doing wrong. I think the same thing applies to us.
Mm-hmm.
Self-reflect on yourself periodically and see if you are still right with God. If you are still following that straight and narrow road to get you to where you want to be. Because life can very easily bring you on a detour.
Yeah.
Very easily. And it's so beneficial for Christians to do that self-reflecting and say, hey, wait a minute. This isn't quite right. I need to get back to where I need to be and be receptive. Especially once you sign that thing, the declaration out there,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be after God's work, to be a true and dedicated follower and stuff. So, yeah, I think like Paul, we have time to do the self-reflecting and to rededicate ourselves and renew ourselves. It's easy to come to church,
right?
But if you're just going through the motions, it's not going to do you any good. You're just warming the benches here.
Right.
But if you pay diligent and listen and be diligent about it and really seek to know the truth, you really honestly then worshiping God.
Okay.
And so self-reflection, to me anyway, mm-hmm. is a must that we all Christians need to practice.
Okay. Good point. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I think the blindness that Jesus inflicted on Paul made him realize his own vulnerability. It made him vulnerable.
Yeah.
Because what was happening before that? Well, you know, he was king of the road, right?
Yeah.
He was on top of the world. He was doing what he thought was right. He did not see any wrong in any of it. He was zealous for God in that way, which he thought was the right way.
Yeah.
And he was brought to his knees, literally, by God.
Mm-hmm.
And the period of days where he remained blind, you know, obviously, like Judy said, he had time for self-reflection and time to understand that he is broken.
Yeah.
And it wasn't God's work.
Right, right.
And that's the only time, you know, that's the only time that we open ourselves up to the, to the love of Christ.
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise, we think we're clean cut and we're good.
Right.
And we don't need any help.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
It's very both. Very good points. And off of what the both of you just said, you just triggered my thinking as to, as we ourselves preach the word of Christ and try to instruct those that don't know Christ and those that do but still may have questions, to let them realize that we are still just like they are, leaving ourselves open to being corrected, but letting others know that, wait, as another point further in this lesson about Paul, letting them know that, hey, I'm just a man or woman too. I'm just human. You know, don't put all your faith in me. Listen to what I say. Search it for yourself. But because sometimes people, because, oh, you know so much about the Bible, and, you know, I'm going to come to you with questions, and whatever you say, I don't look for it myself. I'm just go with what you say because, hey, it sounds right. And we can tend to kind of get a little puffed up, maybe, not on our own accord, but because people kind of boost us up because, oh, he's a good Christian. He knows the Bible. They know it all. And I'm trying to be like him. No, don't be like me. Be like Christ. As Paul said, you can follow me, but in my actions of what I do, but listen to what I said and follow Christ and be like Christ. Don't be like me. Yes.
That's what I admired so much about Mike. Whenever people came to him with a question, he didn't just up and answer it. He said, well, let's open up the Bible and see what it says.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he taught.
Good technique, yeah.
And that way it wasn't his words. It was what God had to tell the people.
Mm-hmm.
And I admire that so much about him. And I think that's the way to go because we don't know it all. And we never will know it all until we get there. And I would rather say, look, I'm not for sure. Sometimes even in class, I say, well, maybe I need to ask Russ about that. Or, you know, be open. Even us as leading a class, we need to be open to learn and gain wisdom during that class.
Right.
Because a lot of times, even the ladies, they will bring stuff up, and it's like, yeah, you're correct. You know, this is the way it should be. And I don't know if they realize it, but I think I learned more from the ladies than I could ever give to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be open to that. We are no better than anybody else.
Right.
And it's, you got to be willing to learn all the time.
Right. Yes. Oh, okay. Yes.
Oh, now, she's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm.
We have a responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
To learn all we can, and none of us know it all.
Right.
But the more we focus on God's word, it's going to make it a lot easier. The thing about Paul realized he had a problem with persecuting his own folks.
Yeah.
But his eyes were open on the way to the Master. You're ready to do it again.
Yeah.
But what happened? God fixed that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Closed his eyes, but he couldn't see. So then he's blind, he can't see anything in front of him.
That's right.
For 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then he had to come to realize.
Humble
yeah,
them down.
It is amazing how God works through us.
Well, yeah.
And I think, you know, I don't know, I'm certainly not Paul, but I can imagine how he must have felt. And he didn't get over it right away because he had to be baptized into Christ and then continue to work. Nobody even wanted to fool with him in the beginning, you know, because they knew he had persecuted the church.
Right.
But I thank God that God is a forgiving God.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to use him, but I can use Peter. Mm-hmm. Peter was one that, because he hid all a servant, and he turned around. Jesus is back on it. He denied Christ three times. Told but Jesus was a forgiving, yes. A forgiving God,
yes.
A forgiving Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
He gave Peter the key to the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Preached the first sermon on the day of Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't hold against Peter.
Mm-hmm.
He knew Peter was powerful like all of us.
Right.
But I'm so thankful God is a forgiving God.
Oh, yes.
He's a thankful God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell you, could make it without it.
You can't.
Could make it without it.
You can't.
You know, Rainer, you said that Christ closed Paul's eyes. You know, he blinded him. But that song we sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord, that's what he did. Right? He couldn't see physically,
yeah.
But he had to see inwardly.
That was his reflecting time.
Yes.
But I think also the thing is that, and I say it over and over again, if you have a heart that truly seeks God, He will draw you.
Mm-hmm.
He will draw you to where you need to be.
Yeah.
Because He sees your heart long before your actions even take place.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And He will draw you. I totally believe that.
We have to continuously have our heart open.
Exactly.
And ready to see what the Lord has in store for us and how He wants to use us.
Yeah.
But it's so easy because of what the devil does. And, you know, I told somebody one time, not criticize the trying to raise the devil up, but we need to be more aware of how he affects us, how he comes at us, in order to try to defend ourselves better against him. I know we got to put on our armor and all that and be prepared for battle. But still, the element of surprise is the most dangerous thing that the devil uses.
Yeah.
Because before you realize, he already standing right there beside you, you know.
Yeah.
And if you can see somebody coming from a long way off, of course you can get yourself in a stand or tense up or do whatever. But when you don't see anything, you know, they right there. You done caught your own guard right there. So he has a way where we don't realize what's happening until we caught up in the moment. A lot of times I think that's how we get into being angry. The Bible says nothing wrong with it. It doesn't say it's nothing wrong. It says you can be angry. That's a human trait. But the point is, don't sin while you're angry. And if the devil pushes you to that point where you can sin, that's all he wants to do. Okay, Joe.
Well, again, we do know that Christ knows our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt about that. And even though we may believe that we are on the right path.
Right.
It's obvious that sometimes God will just do an honest-to-goodness reset.
Yeah.
So sometimes we have to, that's a word of caution, to not to be so full of ourselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking that God's got to be pleased with what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or we ask God's blessing on an effort after the fact. You know, hey, I took that cookie. Do or please make some more. You know, when you weren't supposed to get the cookie in the first place.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, so again, something for us to realize as mature Christians walk in the faith is that check yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Check yourself, do an honest assessment. Not against anything else but the Lord's Word.
Mm-hmm.
Check it against the Lord's Word.
God will keep us on the right track, as you say, and help us to have an open heart and not to be, as you said, so full of yourself that we don't see nothing, don't hear nothing. You know. Yes.
I was just going to mention, too, before you open your mouth, ask the Holy Spirit to guide what's coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially when you're teaching somebody, you want to make sure that what you're teaching them is the true word of God.
Yes.
And include the Holy Spirit in it to guide you during that session, because you're going to need it. You're definitely going to need the guidance of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because he will bring to remembrance what you learned, what you studied. So what you do say is going to be, you know, the true word of God.
Yeah. Okay, let's turn over to Acts chapter 26, verses 12 through 18. And this is what motivated Paul to the point of continuously doing the Lord's work and being committed. And as Christians, we all know that we meet with opposition. Things don't work the way we want it to work. Sometimes feel like the work that you're doing, Acts 26, verses 12 through 18. Mm-hmm. We feel like all we're doing is just spinning wheels, you know. We're trying to do the work of the Lord. It's like everything that we do is not getting us nowhere. We don't see no accomplishment. We try to talk to people. Maybe try to persuade folks to come to church, and every time you see them, yeah, I'm coming. But they don't ever show up. You continuously trying to help people, and it seems like all they're doing is just taking advantage of you, because your heart is in the right place. You feel like if you see the need, you're trying to help the need, but it's not accomplishing nothing, it seems like to you. And it wears down on your motivation. And as I said, to be continuously and mentally stimulated, how can you continuously have that fire and keep having that oomph to want to keep going out, even to the same person and keep saying, I still look for you to come to church. You still got an open invitation. What can I do to help you? And you feel like all people are doing just taking advantage of you because, oh, you're a Christian. You don't mind doing this, you know. Acting for this, you're gonna just keep giving it to me, and you're not doing nothing in return. Not even showing gratitude. Sort of like a child when they come to you and ask for money. You give them money, and they just keep coming to you. And you say, "Well, hey, didn't I just give you $5 yesterday?" Yeah, but I spent it all. I lost it. It didn't have no value to them because they know if they come to you, you're going to give them some hope. And that's the way, you know, it kind of makes you feel like, well, you're going to value this because I'm not going to give it to you this time. You know, hold it for a little bit longer. Well, at this point in Acts chapter 26, verses 12 to 18, Paul is talking about what happened when he was on the road to Damascus. And when he reflected on this, this was enough to continuously motivate him, to keep him stimulated, to keep doing the work. I would say that had I experienced a situation like that, oh yes, I would have been motivated for life too. And no, I would have never slacked off because I know what he told me, what he wanted me to do, and I can't not continue on because I also know that the Lord is watching me. If he was watching me enough to come to me in this form, then I know he's still watching me, and I can't slack off. That's the motivation. But in going through the motions, of course, he went through a lot of stuff in his life as far as being chased, shipwrecked, beaten, talked about, try to be taken advantage of, but still, he was motivated to continue on. Yes, go ahead.
We had a phrase that comes to mind when he had that event happen to him on the road.
Mm-hmm.
He had a significant emotional event.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the kind of things that stay with you.
Oh, yeah.
And so if we reflect on our lives, there's special moments that will always be with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's, of course, it's different for everybody.
Right.
But you have to acknowledge that they're there, that they are there. And so when you, too, look back, you realize God's hand was in that. Because
oh, yeah.
There's no other explanation. No such thing as happenstance, dumb luck, or whatever you want to call it. It was what the world would tend to call it. But it was just your lucky day. So we can reflect and understand the Holy Spirit, God, was there in that event.
Yes.
So knowing that, we realize, or can come to realize, He's in our future already. He's already there.
Yeah.
And He just, it's been confirmed. He doesn't have to prove it to us. We're His servant. Because
mm-hmm.
he's already demonstrated His love constantly, consistently, effectively, righteously. Everything that we need to realize we do have a Creator.
Yes. Yes, constantly there. That's what continuously motivates us.
And you know, Wesley, there mm-hmm. is nothing that we experience as Christians that Christ hasn't already experienced. And He said it Himself, you know, don't be surprised, and I'm paraphrasing here,
mm-hmm.
that if you are persecuted or if nobody listens to you, basically, they've done it to me.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
So, and we have to remember that whatever they're rejecting, they're not rejecting us. They're rejecting Christ.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, because for a long time, Mike and me, we even brought some people to Christ, and then they fall away by the roadside, and it gets discouraging.
Yeah.
It really does. But you have to remind yourself, you know, Christ already been through this and worse, and He never gave up, and He kept on going and giving. And so, therefore, I have to do the same, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my inspiration always comes, I always look what Christ has gone through. And so I ain't got no reason to complain.
I think of the same thing, especially when things get really hard, and I compare it to, but it still ain't as bad as for Christmas. I know I couldn't have
exactly.
went
I do
that,
it all the time.
You know, and it kind of seems like, yeah, this is bad, but it ain't quite as bad as what it could be. As we said, you know, it could have been a little bit worse. Always could have been a little bit worse. But it's not quite as bad as what He went through, because I know I couldn't have did what He did and accomplished what He accomplished. Because being me in my uniform, I'm fallen. I'd have been like this saying, I've fallen, I can't get up, you know. But
I've given up already in the desert.
Yeah.
You know,
because, like I said, constantly the devil is still in your ear telling you, God, give up. You know, you can't do it, you know,
exactly.
It's too hard, don't even worry about it. And like I said, it reminds me of that example I used one time. I don't know if y'all remember about the cartoon, the Thundercats. But this one of the lunatics, Muro, whatever his name was, he used to have this little ball that he would hold over top of you and tell you, oh, give up, you can't make it. This was his hypnotizing trance, like, to make you succumb to whatever He tell you to do. In the same way that I think about this is what the devil does.
Mm-hmm.
When you're under pressure and you're trying to do your best, you're trying to do the right thing, and everything else around you is going haywire at night, and you're still trying to press on and do the right thing, and they'll say, why are you doing that? Ain't nobody else doing this. Give up. You can't make it. You know, you can go over here and do this, and you can do that. You're trying to weigh down. After a period of time, you keep on, you steps get a little bit slower, you know, from the weight of all that prosecution and everything else, the trials, and He's trying to get you to the point where you say, oh, I want to just take a break for a minute. I'm going to sit down right here for a minute, and I'm going to get back up in a minute. I'm going to go back to serving the Lord with full fire here, but once you sit down, it's even harder to get back up. We don't realize how much the devil is at us. Yes.
I just, hope I didn't misunderstand what you were saying a while ago, but mm-hmm. I think you said that if this had happened to you, you would never want to mess up again. You'd want to be faithful. You would never give up on the Lord. I think that's what you meant. You were trying to say. But I think, Wesley, in your lifetime, you've had emotional events happen to you, because look where you are now. Mm-hmm. You're an elder of this church. You're married the prettiest woman in town. You have so many things going for you that you can't back down. You have been where Paul has been. You have lived through tough times that Paul has done. And we know that he's a man, just like you and I. And he made mistakes, and he falls. Mm-hmm. But he got back up, like you said just now. So I don't want you to put yourself down, because I know you have what it takes to be a man of God. And we all have that same opportunity because of where we are today, where we are in this room today, where we are in the world today. And I just wanted you to know, I really appreciate what you're trying to teach us. And we know, we see it in you. So don't give up on you.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I think I said it right. I would have given up. Yeah. I would have, but because my eyes were closed too.
Right.
And the Lord opened my eyes and made me realize that what I've already come from, where He brought me from, and what I can do in potential, and He's still strengthening me and carrying me through. So I'm still a work in progress. Trying to do the best that I can without fail. Yes.
But the thing too, I've heard people say, so many times, man, it's hard to do things sometimes. It's hard.
Yes, of course it is.
But I think about the consequences of going wrong. Mm-hmm. It's better to do right.
Yes.
Do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been blessed in my lifetime in so many ways,
mm-hmm.
and I'm so thankful. And I think that's why I try to stay in the Word, because it helps me.
Yes.
It helps me mentally.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It makes me grab hold of life disappointments and life joy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing can beat it.
Mm-hmm.
God's word, it gets rid of a lot of multitude of sin.
Oh, yeah.
If you stick with it, I love it.
Mm-hmm. That's where we get our strength.
That's the only way you're going to get your strength.
But that's what I was trying to bring out to you. You said it, that continuous motivation.
Oh, yeah.
Stimulation, and it comes from that. And as you just did, what you said, that motivates me to continue on, as well as when we lift each other up, that motivates, that is our job too. Is, sure, our job is to go out and win souls. Our job is also to lift each other up and keep us motivated, because as has always been said, we all in this thing together.
That's right.
And we all fighting for the same reason, fighting the same cause. You know, why should I tear you down if we still fighting in the same battle? I'm fighting myself, you know. Yes.
I was just going to say, you know, when we look at our elders here, they are such an inspiration to, at least to me, and I know to everybody else here. I look at Ray, he's one of my greatest inspirations. This man shows the joy of the Lord every time I talk to him. And that's what we need to do. We need to convey the joy that Christ wants us to have as we are in him, as we do his work, as we promote his way of life, so to speak. And give each other the inspiration. And a lot of times, it's not all about what you say. It's what you see.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
The joy that people have. Look at Kathy. I mean, when she comes through that door, this woman is the peppiest woman I've ever seen. Okay? And she conveys the joy, just like Ray, that she has in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
To me, those are some of the biggest inspirations that I see, and that make me want to keep going and make me want to be
the way the Lord wants me to be. That's where you would draw from. It's from each other. And from what we learn through His Word.
Mm-hmm.
And then take it out in the world and spread it to others.
Mm-hmm.
One of my biggest motivations, and some of you may remember her, one of the members that used to be here was Sister Pratt.
Mine too.
And Bev and I used to go to pick her up on occasion on Sunday to see what this lady goes through and struggle to come to church. It's like, how, like you said, how can I sit back and say, oh, I don't feel like going to church today. I work hard all week. This is my day. I'm going to sit back. I'm going to relax. And I'll go to church next Sunday. And I see what she goes through to struggle to come to church. And her heart is in it. This ain't no act she putting on. You know, this encourages me. You know, and it lets you, like you said, I feel guilty for even thinking about it not coming. You know, so that's the motivation. This is what builds us up. This is what keeps us going. You motivate, we motivate each other and encourage each other in doing stuff. And then that's what it's all about also. That's what's going to give us that continuous mental stimulation. I know I'm running out of time. I didn't know how to get into what I want to talk about, but I'm going to get to one more point, and then we'll close out. In this passage here of chapter 26 of Acts, starting at verse 12 and going to verse 18, Paul is telling about his conversion. Man, I'm sure that every time he told this, every time he thought about it, it was just like it just happened. That was enough to motivate and continue to keep him going. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, being that he had their permission and their backing, so he thought, sure, yeah, I'm doing the right thing, and I got everybody behind me that's going to stand up with me. At midday, O King, along the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the gourds. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both to the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, to whom now send you, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. That is so powerful a statement. Gave him a job, told him what he wanted to do, not just today, but this is going to go on. How can you not be committed? That's what we have to reflect on, this example. And we should feel inspired and uplifted each time we are doing the Lord's work. And of course, we're going to feel a little sluggish from time to time, because we know that the devil is at us 24/7, trying to make us slack off. But when we think back, just think back from where you came to where you are now, and try to envision where you are going to go. And this should give us some motivation to continue on to do our work. That's part of my lesson for today. But thank you all for your comments, and we're prepared for going to our morning worship. Thank you all.
Thank you.